Is this? Yes, it is. Good. Well, last week Ray spoke from Psalm 115, and this week I'm also speaking from Psalm 115. It's about a month ago, actually, before Christmas, that I was sort of seeking God to find a scripture or to hear what God had to say specifically, particularly for Dan this morning. Of course, it's for all of us. So when I learned sort of a week and a half ago that Ray and I were speaking from the same psalm, initially I was mildly dismayed and thought I should look for somewhere else. But then I looked in my Bible, I counted up the pages in my Bible and the columns in my Bible, and Psalm 115 occupies one column. So out of 2,006 columns, Ray and I had hit upon the same one. I thought, what's the chance of that happening? Of course, it isn't chance, it's God. I remember one time being Father Christmas at a church, sort of children's party, and I had a sack full of presents to give out, and they had been bought, this was at Merrifield House, and they'd been bought by their parents for these children, and I was a novice Father Christmas, because I said, come on, ho, 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 come on up, and got them like, you know, would you like a present, and little, you know, what's your name? And then realized that I had a sack. I had no idea which gift was which. What was, you know, I knew they were all labeled. I was like, oh. And I pulled the first one out and said, what's your name, little girl? And she said, Melissa, or whatever it was. And I said, and this is for you, Melissa, because it was. And every single child that came up, there's about 7 or 8 of them out of 15 who actually had the confidence to come to ho, 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 Father Christmas. And every single one of them, I pulled out the present for that child. The odds of that are over 75 million to one. Okay? Our God is not a God of chance. And verse 3 of Psalm 115 says, but our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. And it's not that God is an arbitrary God. Oh, I'll do whatever I like. It's no. What I do is what is pleasing to me. It's determined and purposeful. It's not arbitrary and sort of whimsical. It is determined and purposeful. And that's what today has been about. It's what God and is about. And into the future, God has purpose and he is determined to fulfill his purpose. Dan and Rebecca and your family, and for each one of us, there's purpose today, and he's fulfilling it. Our God is in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. And I believe part of what he pleases is to speak to Dan and Rebecca, and to us all, from a Psalm 115 again today. I'm not going to read through this whole psalm. I'm going to start in verse 9. We read through it last week, and if you've got your Bibles open, feel free, if you get bored as I'm speaking, to turn back to the scripture and read that instead. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. Father, please will you join with me in prayer. Father, please will you soften our hearts freshly to receive your word, the word that you have faithfully preserved over the centuries, the word you speak to us through, and open our ears to hear what it is that you're saying and our eyes to see what it is that you're doing. And Holy Spirit, give us faith to get hold of you as you have gotten hold of us. Lord, help us today. I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. So Dan, but for all of us here, I have, I think, five, maybe six little points to draw out, and most of them are very, very obvious. But firstly, in this passage, these verses 9 to 11, the call of the psalmist to Israel and to the house of Aaron and to those who fear the Lord, to trust in the Lord. And Dan, today, you know, from these verses, you can see that even though God's love is faithful to everyone, and he looks upon us all in the same way, yet there is division in the right sense. There is a setting apart. And there was a setting apart that's shown here. It doesn't go into how that was done. You'll have to read elsewhere in Scripture. But the house of Aaron within the people of Israel. And Dan and Rebecca, something has happened today, recognized today, where you are set apart. You're still one of us, but you're different. And it's important to recognize that and keep hold of that. There's an anointing for you and your family today. Something has changed. Don't let go of that. I can remember when I was first prayed in as an elder in one place back in Zimbabwe. And, you know, in the very best sense, you know, there are some people coming along saying, you know, you're still one of us. And it was true. But somewhere in it, there was a temptation within me to sort of say, yes, it's a diminishing of what has happened. It's a temptation to diminish what God is doing today in saying, yes, we're still just like everyone else. There's something different. Don't let go of what God is doing and has done and will do today and ongoing. There is a grace for you to be anointed. Nothing has changed, but actually everything has changed. And in one sense, this is a frightening thing, and that leads us straight to the second point. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. There's lots of good reasons in Scripture that are given to trust in the Lord. One of them is, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here, Isaiah 26, verse 3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. As you trust in the Lord, and it's for each one of us, as we trust in the Lord, he keeps us in perfect peace. Psalm 125, verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As we trust in the Lord, there is a settling and a holding that God will do. But these verses talk about two other things in particular, two other reasons why we should trust in the Lord. Because he, the Lord, is their help and their shield. Trust in the Lord because he is your help, and you will need help, and we all need help. Trust in the Lord because he is your help and your shield. We'll come back to help and shield shortly. But for Dan in particular, today there is a fresh grace and a fresh calling, a fresh directive for you to trust in the Lord. We all get pulled in many, many other directions what to trust in. But there's a call and a grace on you today to trust in the Lord. And two aspects of that. It's trusting in the Lord, but it's also intentionally putting the choice of, I will put my trust in the Lord. Not looking here, not looking there, but putting my trust in the Lord. There's a fresh grace for you today to put your hopes and your fears to the Lord. The kind promises, the good promises, the vision, the hopes, but also those things, the challenges, the fears. Give these things to the Lord. He is your help and shield. And there's another aspect to this trusting in the Lord. And it's actually sort of more referred to in the verse before the verses that we read. Because those who trust in the Lord become like the Lord. Verse 8, talking about the idols that others have trusted in or trust in, it says, those who make these idols will become like them, everyone who trusts in them. We do not become like the Lord because we have made him. Far from it. He has made us. He has made us initially in his image, and he causes us to be born again. And Romans 8:29 says this, for whom he, God, foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. It's this aspect of God working in us and drawing us to become like him. It's because of that that Paul, with great confidence in a number of times in the epistle, says, imitate me. Because he knows, by the grace of God, he is like God. And in humility, he says, look at me and follow my example. It's because God, as we trust in him and he works in us, he makes us like him. He renews us. He recreates us so that we become like him. And there is an especial fresh grace upon you today as you trust in him to grow more in being like him. You've made vows today. You've said, I do, I will, a number of times. And each of those vows are to do with becoming like God, being like God. Not out of the action of your own will, but because of the grace of God. There are a couple of times where you said, by the grace of God, I will. It's because of his work in you that you will become. But there is a fresh grace. I remember when Judy and I were married and Steve Thomas was preaching there, and there were a few things that he said to us about forgiveness and a couple of other things. And of course, they're things that could be said every day. They could be included in every sermon. But he was saying to us, in your marriage, you need to keep the windows up. It's like going through a safari park and there are lions outside. And you need to keep the windows up. Otherwise, the lions and stuff will reach in and get you. And keeping the windows up is like forgiveness. Forgive one another. And of course, it's true for every situation, every sermon. It could be true, but Steve spoke it to us that day. And maybe it was because Judy needed a special grace to remember to forgive me over and over and over again. Maybe there were peculiar circumstances, but it stuck with me. And I believe God wants you to know that there is grace for you here, and it's for us all, but there's a grace for you especially today to become more like God as he works in you. Trust in the Lord, and he will make you like him. Alone, you cannot, but he will. And again, from this psalm, in particular ways, I mean, there's many ways we could be holy as he is holy. But from this psalm, in particular, how are you called, I believe, to be like him? Well, we're coming back to being a help and a shield. It's clear in Scripture that we need help. It's there. I mean, it's implicit in this Scripture. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Nowhere in it is there an implication of, you don't actually need help, but I'm there. And I'll call myself your help. He says I'm your help because we need help. We think of the Holy Spirit, the helper, the paraclete. And Jesus in John 14:16 saying, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another helper that he may be with you forever. And the implication is that Jesus is saying, I am a helper. I have been your helper, but I'll ask the Father who will give you another helper. And here we see, and there's plenty of other passages, where God the Father, Yahweh, says, I am your help. And of course, it makes sense that Jesus would be like his Father. He's the exact representation of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are helpers. What humility that they show to be helpers. I remember my mum had some home help growing up. Betty would come and help. She was like an aunt to the family. But she would come and help. And what did being a help mean? It meant she dusted and cleaned the dishes and did the menial stuff. What humility God shows to be our help. That God, the Creator, is help to his creature. I worked for a company down in Vancouver, Precision Sound. The president of that company, it actually had as a group of companies but tied together, but the president of that company, a man by the name of Dan Houghton, I think for a time he was president also of the Four Square Church of Canada, very godly man. But he would answer the phone. He was the first line after the reception. If she was busy, then he would be the next person answering the phone. He'd always answer the phone. Good morning, Precision Sound. Dan here. How can I help? Always. How can I help? God calls us to be helpers. There's something in particular that I want to say here. Because the law of the Lord is good. But the law of the Lord has never helped anyone. The law of the Lord has condemned every man or woman who has ever lived except one, Jesus. And the law of the Lord did not give Jesus life. But the law of the Lord could not take away or could not judge and take away and give grounds for the taking away of life from Jesus because he never sinned. The law is good. And to speak of the law, to speak of precepts and rules and proverbs, etc., are very, very helpful. But God, as God, comes to us as helper. Romans 7 makes an analogy between the law and our husband Jesus. He makes an analogy of this new covenant in Christ as a joining to a new husband. And it's been said that the difference between having the law as husband or having Jesus as husband, it would be the same as having Father or Holy Spirit, because they act the same. But having the law as a husband would be like the husband coming home, and as he enters the home, just checking up that things are done right. Have you done all that I've required of you today? But our God is like a husband who comes home and enters the home, and as he comes in, rolls up his sleeves and says, "Honey, what can I do to help? What can I do to help?" Judy smiles at me. I'm setting myself up. Or letting myself down. Take your choice. But there is a truth here. And Dan, there is a grace, a fresh grace upon you to be a helper in this fellowship. As what Dwayne shared and the prophetic he gave to you, I believe is spot on. Dan, you've been a help to people in Vernon finding their home. But there's an anointing upon you today and onwards for you to help people find their home in God. Amen. As a helper. But not just a helper, but as a shield. When I think of a shield, I always think of those sort of, you know, like streets of San Francisco and sort of the flash of the cop's shield. I'm a policeman. Here's my shield. I was a policeman in the UK. We didn't have shields. We had a little warrant card. It's sort of glamorous. And it's great to be behind a shield. I did some riot training. I did have a few bricks thrown at me in earnest while I was a policeman, but I was in a van at the time. But I did riot training. I trained as a riot sort of police, and it was very nice having a shield in front when things were thrown at you, and when we teamed together, having shields above us as well, and fire extinguishers being sort of not let off at us but thrown at us, and learning that actually they bounce off the shield. It's lovely to be behind the shield. But where we're going, of course, and it's for all of us, is that we're called to be like God as a shield. Whether in fact or fiction, we've probably all seen footage of a Secret Service agent leaping across to take the bullet for the president. For us, rarely is it a physical thing. More often, it's things that are said. Things said by people and the whispered lies, the fiery darts of the enemy. But we shield others. And of course, there's the sort of glamorous side of it, the, you know, Sir Lancelot, Sir Galahad of I want to be a shield for my wife, the noble knight. But of course, who Jesus shielded was not the good, far from it. In fact, especially, he took the blows for those who were far from good. People like me and you. And he took the blows upon the cross, the insults and the taunts and the spit, and all of sin. And we are not called to do that. We are not another sacrifice. But we are called to enter into the fellowship of his sufferings. And those sufferings are with purpose. They're like a lightning rod that is a shield to those who just cannot withstand the effect of those lightning bolts. And we take that place. We step into the bullet. The Lord shields us even when we are wrong. In fact, he shields us especially when we are wrong. It's his glory, the exact representation of the Father. Well, it sounds like it's a pretty gruesome thing that we're getting into, but it's a wonderful thing as well. Because in verses 12 to 18, and I'm not going to go with you, I thought Ray did a great job sort of expressing this last week, so I'm going to just lean on him and what he shared. But the Lord will bless us, and the Lord will bless you. And the Lord will bless you, Rebecca, and you, Reese, and Tressa, who's out in God in the Sunday school. The Lord will bless us. It's for each one of us as we trust in the Lord. He will bless us. But in conclusion, there's something that I think is far more wonderful, though perhaps not as great, but I think it's far more wonderful, is that you will bless the Lord. I think his blessing for us is far greater, but that we can be a blessing, that you can be a blessing to the Lord is wonderful. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord. This is verse 16. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But as for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord. And this blessing of the Lord, I've often thought about how can I bless the Lord? Whatever I might give to, how can whatever I might give to the Lord, how can that be a blessing to the Lord? It might be something he approves of, it might be something, but how is it a blessing? And it's something I still grapple with. I think there are two parts of it that I see. One is the simple one. It's the words of our mouth, the praises of God. There are so many instances in Scripture where, and it happens here, it moves straight on from talking about blessing to the Lord to that final word phrase, praise the Lord. Part of our blessing the Lord is to praise and to worship. But that blessing, the word there, we won't go into details, I don't have the skill to, but it's not a verbal thing. The Hebrew word, it's to bow down, to kneel, to humble oneself, to comply. And somewhere in the blessing of the Lord to us, to each of us, to all of us, but for you in particular, Dan, I think at this time, is that there will be a grace to kneel down to the Lord and to comply with his good pleasures. He is a God who does what he pleases. And as his grace works in us, we become people who do what God pleases. And for each one of us who are parents and look at our children, and they do, when we see our children, sometimes against all odds, doing the things that please us, it's a blessing. Wow. It's a wonder, and it's a blessing. He said that to you? Wow. My son's great. He said, thank you? How come he never says thank you or whatever? But we move into being like God. And there is a grace upon you as you move into being like God that God will be blessed by you. And this, of course, is for each one of us. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to the world, but more wonderfully, that we can be a blessing to him. Amen.